I'm going to refer to the second sheet in your rural model handouts. I've just outlined briefly. It's coming up on 10 years since we first looked at and put into place our diocesan policy on NFP. Archbishop Aquila was very involved with the writing and support of the policy. A year before policy implementation, he made the priests aware of his plans to put a requirement for NFP into place, and a small group of priests was gathered together along with diocesan staff, consulted on the writing of the policy, and then were charged with setting up a plan for implementation. At this point, it would certainly be key to have an NFP coordinator in place. While I am the Respect Life Director for the Diocese of Fargo, I'm a part-time employee. I'm not a full-time employee. My work at that time in 2003 was primarily with the life issues in our diocese. But Archbishop Aquila had moved the NFP portion that was somewhat in place in the diocese, together with our marriage preparation seminars from our Catholic Charities, into our Department for Catholic Education Formation. He saw marriage preparation as primarily a catechetical issue rather than a service-related issue. And so the marriage preparation weekends got moved, and NFP came into my office, along with my Respect Life duties. I assumed the role of NFP coordinator as a part-time position, and it continues to be part-time for me. And it was my role to coordinate the implementation of the policy and to develop our NFP program. I would like to emphasize the importance of following the USCCB NFP Diocesan Development Plan for NFP. This tool was key for us in developing an educational strategy. Teresa, do you think everyone's aware of that particular
maybe
document?
Maybe some people are not. I can, when we start discussing things like that, it's the standards that the bishops have approved for diocesan natural family planning ministry. We have the document up on our website and an implementation process as well.
And it's broken down into who is the diocesan coordinator, who are diocesan teachers, what are the standards that are required for them. And again, key tool for you to have a look at and use in setting up a policy implementation plan. We early on established an NFP advisory committee, which has provided our programming with insights from priests, teachers, and diocesan staff, and again, it ensures that this collaborative effort is taking place between clergy, NFP teachers, and diocesan staff. I want to point out that for our diocese, and I'm not saying that this is something that applies to anyone else, but for our diocese, at the time that we were looking at the policy, it was key that I was not an NFP instructor. I am not an NFP instructor. Certainly, my husband and I practiced and used NFP, but by my not being an instructor, it allowed me to create relationships with our teachers that might not have been so easily created if I was an instructor. The teacher saw me as being not biased towards a particular method. Kept methods from feeling that they were being alienated if I had been an instructor. So just something to consider and to look at. At first, our task, it was decided to move forward with our policy, was to educate our priests and NFP instructors on the policy itself, the methods of NFP that would be offered, and theology of the body. And again, looking back, this is 2003-2004, John Paul II's Theology of the Body certainly is just coming out, Christopher West, a lot of these resources were kind of new on the stage. 10 years later, we see, just a random assortment of resources on theology of the body, but that was not necessarily the case when we were first looking at policy implementation. And we had priests, you know, in their 50s and 60s, and theology of the body was something really very much new for them. And so that education needed to be done. Bishop Aquila offered a mandated seminar for our priest, and we also held our first meeting with all of our instructors. We do offer an annual meeting for our NFP instructors every year. It's a continuing education component of our program, a way to bring our teachers together, not only to educate, but to provide them with some fellowship and a way for us to say thank you to them. It follows with a nice dinner. Dr. Natori is joining us for our annual meeting this year, and we're looking forward to having her. Shortly before the implementation date of September 8, 2005, our office staff traveled around the diocese and held deanery meetings. And so at these meetings, we had our priests, our instructors from each deanery area. It was an opportunity for them to meet and to know, you know, who's providing the service to the couples that I'm preparing for marriage, who are the priests involved, for the teachers to know and to be aware of them as well. And it was an opportunity for questions and concerns to be aired in this smaller group environment rather than, you know, a meeting where you've got 80 priests and 20 teachers. From those meetings, it was very successful for us. We created a compendium of questions and answers, and I do have our diocesan policy and this document that we created with me if you're interested in looking at those. They're both also online. But the compendium of questions and answers are diocesan responses to questions that priests and teachers were answered. Asking. We wanted a consistent answer across the board. Given a rural diocese, people can come up with all kinds of perceptions on what the policy says. And so we created this document that has been helpful over the years. We made initial efforts to educate the laity on theology of the body. Christopher West offered several workshops for us. Dr. Hilgers offered a one-day seminar, again, not only for laity, but for clergy and medical profession on NAPRO technology. We made use of our diocesan newspapers and parishes as a resource to educate the laity. And here, Bishop Aquila, I'm going to let you turn. Again, here, this is an example of how Bishop Aquila was involved in just promoting NFP. He suggested that we create the aftermaths, that we make the most of a captive moment for adults in our parish settings. And, you know, they're just little square ads that parishes are encouraged to put in their bathroom stalls or on their bathroom mirrors at adult height. And just a simple tool. To really our goal, people don't even know what the acronym of NFP stands for. You know, we have to begin with that very simple, basic education. NFP, what is that? What does it mean? Just to get that out there and start to make the general public aware of what NFP is. And just very simple ideas that we want to present to people on how it's a benefit to them in their marriage. The question was asked about married couples taking instruction in NFP, not just engaged couples. We do track that in our diocese. In 2011, we had 41 married couples, and in 2012, we had 77 married couples who have chosen to take instruction in NFP. It's not something that happens overnight. But it is a fruit of our policy. In September of 2006, our diocesan program was endorsed by the USCCB DDP for NFP. Again, that's another piece that Teresa offers as part of the standards. And Everything that I've talked about as far as education was part of that endorsement. And I think to have the endorsement, it just helps us as a diocese to further show that our program is a credible and quality program that we have to offer to couples. We're asking them to take this instruction, and we want to show them that what we're offering to them is of the highest quality, and that our teachers are certified not only with us as a diocese, but with the USCCB as well. Yes.
Did you say that Mary's preparation was moved to be handled by the catechetical?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Were they trained at all in theology of the body?
Yes.
NFP,
and
how was the response to that?
Well, the teams changed. When the program was moved from Catholic Charities to Catholic Education Formation, the people who were working with those programs were different people. And so they already had this catechetical foundation of theology of the body. And people who came into the program, because they're using, I don't work directly with the Marriage Preparation Weekends. What's the program called?
Ascension Press. It's God's Plan for Joyful Marriage.
And so that's what they're using on the Marriage Preparation Weekend as well. Certainly everyone who's working with that program is well-versed in theology of the body.
And what about for the remote and proximate preparation in the parishes? Is anything being done for the students and parents at that level and the catechists at that level?
Thank you for bringing that up. Chastity education falls under my department as well. And we see, remote education, we see that as being so important. So that it's been said here, we're getting couples preparing for marriage with absolutely no language skills for theology of the body or understanding our human sexuality. And so this very much needs to begin middle school, high school. And again, here, parishes are encouraged to use Ascension Press, Theology of the Body for Teens, middle school. And we have a male-female team that goes out into the parishes. It's available to the parishes to go out and do chastity education presentations during the school year. We usually pick a theme for them. This year it's going to be babies and sex. And the whole point behind that is that our culture has separated this ideal that sex and babies go together. And we really need, once again, to begin at this young age of bringing these two, purpose and meaning of human sexuality, back together, and to teach our young people that this is part of God's plan, and our culture has separated these two things and tells us that they have nothing to do with each other. But our remote preparation is still in need of a great deal of work. I'm not saying that it's where it should be at all. It's just something that is so greatly needed, but certainly we're starting with using Theology of the Body for teens, both at the middle school and high school levels.
I had a question about how you ensure accreditation standards for the NFP teachers. So do you monitor whether or not they're keeping up with their accreditation, or do you rely on the NFP provider groups to do that?
My teachers have a relationship with me as the NFP coordinator in assuring that they're certified with USCCB. And USCCB is going to be more concerned with the catechetical component of their NFP instruction. And I leave their relationship with the method that they were trained in between them and that method. Really, for the most part, I do not interfere with that at all. It's up to those teachers and it's up to that method to make sure that they are doing their retraining and their continuing education.
And just to plug, we did not script this. And so I'm so glad, Rochelle, that you're showing the benefit of the bishop's standards for the dioceses, because it's a real development tool. When a diocese implements the bishop's standards, they look at their program, they look at their teachers, and they look at what their teachers are teaching. they invite all their differently trained teachers to be reviewed and to become an integrated part of the diocesan program. And the teacher's process right now is the teacher does a self-study where the teacher walks through the section of the standards to review exactly if they have all of these elements in their training and background, and also standards of professional conduct as well in working as a team member with the diocese. And of course, it's got a strong theological element as well in terms of Catholic teaching. And also, the coordinator, the diocesan coordinator, has to look at what the teacher is teaching. When the teacher goes through this process and meets with the coordinator, and there's also an observation piece as well, so that we can make sure that the coordinator knows who's teaching and how they're teaching in their dioceses. And there are many ways that people do this, even with videotaping sometimes, or Skyping at this point in time because of distances. But once the teacher receives this ministerial certification, and in the questions in that as well, ask about their certification with an approved NFP provider and how they maintain their continuing education, etc. There's a renewal process every 5 years. So it's a very nice instrument to keep everybody professional and current and together. And I'm glad to hear that in the field it's been working out like this.
Yeah, you know, we are involved at the diocesan level with the training of teachers. We've offered BOMA trainings. Marquette, Dr. Fearing, we have a couple instructors who have been trained with you. CCL does their own training, so it's not that they're coming in. Our teachers are doing online training with them. But we're aware of those trainings as they're taking place. And I do keep track of when teachers have been certified with methods, but again, it's up to that teacher and that method that they were instructed in to make sure that they're keeping up with their certification and recertification as that should need to be done.
What does USCCB, or what did you